Gage Max and Joe.
YouTube live show with Gage Max and Joe. Where they're fired up and ready to go.
Gage Max and Joe.
YouTube live show.
And we're back. It's Thursday. What's up, boys? Joe, how are we doing?
Doing awesome. We have a fantastic lineup today.
Yeah, we've been kind of fired up about this. We're bringing on Charlie Wade later. The Charlie Wade, Hawaii men's volleyball coach. Max, I'm sorry to ask, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I just want to warn the viewers now, buckle up. We're going to have some hot takes coming.
Do you have a musical instrument near you or no?
No, I wish I did, because if I did, no.
So again, we're going to have Charlie Wade on. It'll be good. That'll be later down the road. But first things first, let's get to our first segment of Totally Exposed.
Here we go.
Now, remember in this segment, we're going to bring up volleyball-related videos. We got three today. Hopefully they're gems, hidden gems that we have for you, experiences of us.
Definitely hidden gems.
Video from the fan.
Definitely hidden gems.
So we're going to bring those up for you and just kind of give a little insight of what was going through our mind during that time. We're going to go.
We also have a fan who submitted something.
Exactly. Yeah. We got everything.
We had a few fans, but we had to pick.
I think I know the first one that we're showing, right?
So this first one is definitely going to be featuring Maxwell Quincy Rosenfeld here. Max, why don't you take us through here exactly the situation?
Yeah, it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be the first ever person that's been exposed on this show, because this is full exposure, full disclosure going on right here, because I really goofed on this play, yeah. And as a result of this, I was hitting -1,000 career for about a 2-week period. So that was awesome. So I think Gage is just queuing up the video now.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull
up. Not my finest hour.
We got it right here, Max. We're good to go. So, Max, as you can see, Max is in the middle position right now. He's being blocked kind of by Colton, but you can kind of see it. Dalton's back to serve. Max, this is your first kind of start, yeah?
Yeah, first time going in during a set, and I was ready, to say the least. I was just fired up and ready to go, as the song says.
And then, Joe, you were like, what'd you tell him before the play?
I'm going to be setting you a ball here, so be ready to go.
I said, all right. That works for me, man.
All right, so we got Max in the middle, Dalton Solberg back to serve. Let's see the aftermath of this.
I think I really nailed it.
Pass, set the middle, Max. Nice commit, Max. What are you going to hand in that ball? Max, ready to transition? Look at your hands. We're gonna play that. Look at your hands. Look at your so destroyed. You're like hands like no. Oh my god.
I fell.
Joe, you're laughing.
God.
Joe's laughing and Gage has his face in his
Yeah, look at me in the corner. Oh, I was going crazy in the corner like, over there.
Nice try there, bud.
When I arrived, I was like, no, that was just like one chance. I was like, oh man. I remember after the game, you were so destroyed.
I was like, oh, man. For years.
I was so ready. You know what? In my defense, though, I hit it hard into the bottom of the tank. There was some speed on that.
Well, that was Max's first start. Max, trust me. I'll go into that. We'll do that another Totally Exposed about my first start. It's a very very interesting start versus Northridge. We're going to go into our next segment, sent by a fan at Michael. Hope I don't butcher this. At Michael Losey or Lose, I'm sorry. Michael, thank you for sending you a vid. The vid is good, but the caption he sent us is even better. Let's play the vid right here. So this is Michael playing. He's a libero. Mad respect to our liberos out there. And left back right here, you're going to see the setter dump it. And let's see his reaction here.
Oh, my God.
I've had plenty. I love how it just ends up on the other side of the net. And then our team's like, hey, you good, bro? he's like, this is the worst moment of my life. Oh, my gosh.
Gage had a moment I think he can relate to. Him just laying there on the ground.
You're just like
lit in the face. Oh, my God. Chest.
But I alluded to his text that he sent us for the message. He's like, I'm going to keep this PG rated right here. He's like, a little throwback to high school where I effed up my hip harder than you guys effed up the big flash last year.
Oh, my God.
And then the legend, Michael, thank you so much for that video and for that caption. I hope your hip's okay. I hope you're having a great day.
Easy all right. Recovery.
This is the
thank
last
that
one.
Submission.
You know, I didn't want to do it purely. I was trying to find a different video that wasn't me, but I was like, you know what? I've had so many bad moments on the court where I was like, all right, let's go.
Too
to
many
this
comedic
one.
Moments.
Exactly. So
in
I think
his career at UH.
We're gonna go to my first kind of collegiate big game here and talk about and how I come as a serving sub. You see me, you can't really see me on the back of the screen right now. And I remember we're down 22-18. This is the first set versus UCLA. This is my first big like college game. My freshman year, I came as the serving specialist. For those of you who follow my career, you know that. But you can't see me. I'll start in the kind of the back left here. And I remember I was so pumped. Charlie turned to me. He's like, Gage, he's like, you're going to go in. Let's go. I'm like, oh my God, it's my time to shine. Let's go. First
yes!
set. I'm getting 22. I'm going to bring these guys back. I'm going to fire this crowd up. Let's go, baby.
Like Tommy boy.
Like, and let's see what happens here. So I'm in the back left. You can't see me. You'll see me come in screen here. And I come absolutely ripping that ball right in the antenna.
Another one, yeah.
And that fun fact, that was my first of two plays that night.
I was looking straight ahead, I remember. And I heard the whistle go, and all of a sudden the whistle blew again, and I never saw the ball. Like, what?
Joe,
I was looking at a rally. Where'd the ball go?
You can see Rosie. Rosie's eyes was like, what just, like, happened there? And then Joe, you're just like, all right, next play. And
I was just looking at Gage. I'm like,
you roasted me. You roasted me.
No,
after that.
Joe roasted you? I thought you guys
I
would be
never
totally
heard
cool
the end of that.
Right after.
Joe, Ratto. Everyone's roasting me. They're like, I was like, how do you do that? Like, how do you?
I serve Gage.
I wasn't even thinking. I was just going to rip.
The next morning, it's serve and pass. Hey, Gage, watch out for the antenna. He'll jump out and bite you.
Oh, my gosh. So, this is kind of like our last segment here for Totally Exposed. Again, if you want to be featured, make sure you guys send a video to any of our personal accounts or to our out-of-system account. Now to the main man himself, the Charlie Wade. Let's get Charlie on the other end of this call.
Charlie!
As promised, Charlie Wade. Charlie, you want to give us another sound check for the fans out there?
Check.
A second ago, Charlie, we've been waiting for this call for a long time. It's an honor to have you on the show. How are we doing so far today?
I'm doing great. This is my third Zoom in a row.
How many Zoom?
Oh, it's been a full Zoom-licious morning.
Gage, you were on the first call, just to remind
you. I was. This is our second Zoom of the day.
Back to back to back.
Coach, nice. Don't worry. We got class later. We're going to be on a couple Zoom calls later. Don't even worry about that. All right. We'll handle that. But that's actually a good segue into our first kind of topic that we're going to be talking about. So we've been seeing you. I mean, obviously, you're a coach, so you've been seeing all the Save Our Sports, all the kind of the chaos that this coronavirus and all these problems kind of bring to surface here. So I want to talk about a little containment versus kind of reacting appropriately. And I think you can get kind of an insight on how do you think a lot of these coaches, are they overreacting? Are they reacting appropriately? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, the coaches, we're still very much in just gather data mode. I mean, I think in general, there's a little, there's a concern, and it may be overly concerned, but it's an important topic. And that is, you know, the legislation proposed by the G5, that is the five conferences with football below the Power Five, they submitted legislation requesting some leeway in the number of sports they have to sponsor. And everybody took that as, oh my God, they're dropping sports and volleyball teams are going to go away. I generally think volleyball is pretty healthy and there's been a lot of growth. I did have an interesting perspective that I heard earlier today. One of the things in the language for that proposal would allow for the fall sports to start summer training without having the student athletes have to be in summer school, which those two have always been tied together, which is a huge expense. And in University of Hawaii's particular case, we did not have fall or spring football. So if you take away the spring and then there's no summer and then the fall is delayed, like they're going to be really up against it. So the summer thing becomes very important when it's allowed and not having to spend the money to put everybody in summer school when that really isn't your intention. There also could be a trickle-down effect where if you're not spending that money on summer school for the fall sports, then spring sports like volleyball could have more opportunities for summer school. So that whole piece, like, look, they're figuring it out. They're working constantly on it. You know, I think from the beginning, the whole distance learning concept, and I just was struck as soon as we got how quickly schools, high schools, grade schools, universities, all of which I deal with on a daily basis, how quickly they pivoted to this distance learning concept. And I just think it's going to go, a percentage of it will go the way of similar brick and mortar businesses in retail. I mean, we're looking at Amazon U is coming. And the school, yeah. the institution that already were set up to have online learning are way ahead on this. And it just, you know, filling a classroom with 25, 30 people becomes an inefficient way to educate. In some cases, it's a necessary because of the socialization, because of the subject matter that you need to be in front of them. But I just think that part is going to play out over time, and it's years going forward. We're trying to figure out what everybody's doing in the fall, but I think you're going to see see effects from this going forward for a long time. And then when it gets to the just the volley side of it for us, like, you know, okay, we don't know our schedule. Everybody's kind of up for, well, there's not going to be any fall practice, let alone fall competition. You know, we're going to have to juggle the roster size. You know, and look, in our practice gym, there's guys get better. You know, we want to keep them around as long as possible. I do agree that, you know, 30 is it's just an unruly number, but we've already talked about if we end up with a roster that size, we can run split practices. The coaches just have to be there twice as long. You know, we can split it up by position. We could split it up by class. We could split it up any way you want to have two sessions that are beneficial. So, you know, you don't have 30 plus guys standing around. You know, the whole scholarship piece does become, you know, if we extend this out and to use a popular phrase now, I think, if we end up having guys like our freshmen, the group of freshmen from a couple of years ago, they'll be freshmen for the third year in a row, you know, and what it does is flatten the curve in terms of scholarship distribution. So you're going to have guys tying up that scholarship money longer. It's over a 6-year cycle than a 4-year cycle, but ultimately you end up getting more bang for your buck. Guys in their 6th year are going to be smarter, stronger, more responsible, better players. So you get better leadership, you get better performance in your practice gym and on the court. You know, you just have to make a decision if they're guys that are worth having around for 6 years as opposed to 4. Yeah. But there's still a lot of unknown that we're all just trying to figure out going forward.
Yep. So I feel like you kind of have a level head, and I think that you're part of all these meetings with other coaches, and I've heard from other people, like, everyone's kind of like freaking out. I feel like you're kind of in the middle right here, because you're like, okay, I see this most opportunity, not like as a time to panic. You're kind of like in the middle, all the fires around you, like, what's going around? Like what are the other coaches like thinking? Because I've heard, like, they're kind of like freaking out a little. They're like, oh, this or this or this. And I've heard a lot of different kind of reactions that people are having.
I mean, there's a reality. There are budget cuts coming. And I understand there's a little bit of being proactive, right, to get in front of it and to show that we're willing to be good soldiers. But at the end of the day, they're not going to ask us if they have to cut. You know, they may ask you, okay, you have a choice to cut wherever you want to cut. I do look at some of this, and I'll agree that it's people are getting a little in front of themselves because we don't know. And, you know, one analogy could be, look, you're not just going on the ventilator if you don't have the Rona. You know, you got to wait and see, like, okay, like, I may get sick. I may have it. I may have to go into the more extreme measures. But right now, we just don't know. So I'm saying, let's just wait and see if we got the Rona before we jump on the ventilator and start whacking schedules, you know, money off our budget and dates off our schedule.
Right, right. So I want to kind of move this into the UH program right now. And I kind of want to talk about, for the past 2 years, you've had, congratulations again, you won ABCA coach, head coach of the year last year, and Joshua Walker won ABCA assistant coach of the year. And now Milan won it this year. So you see that all three of these coaches are winning these awards. What does that tell about the UH program and how much, I don't want to say like, oh, we're like this over this, but it's like, I mean,
why do you think that is?
Yeah, it speaks for it kind of self. I mean,
well, because we have good players, right? I mean, they go hand in hand. It's like when players win individual awards, their team does well. You know, when our team wins, you get individual awards, and coaches get awards when the same thing, when the team wins, and we win because we have a lot of good, really good players. And we have players that have just bought into the whole thing. I mean, you guys know it's not just because we think we're really good in the practice gym, and we are. But we're also really good in the classroom and the weight room and the community and the locker room. And, you know, it's the cumulative effect of having guys bought in, you know, Joe and Brett and, Stein, that group that came in, they benefited from the leadership of Capone Fay and Henrik Moll, and those guys benefited from, you know, Colby Kanataki and Siki, guys that helped to raise the bar. So we're on this, you know, several year ascendant phase where we've really just built on the leadership and the dedication of the players before us. And, you know, like Gage, you know that I've said this to you, and I say it to every class kind of going forward, your legacy ultimately will be if the young players, when you're one of the leaders, when you're one of the upperclassmen, when the leaders who are under your guidance, if they're competing for a national championship, compete at the highest level, then you've done your job, you know. And we just, we continue to be in the conversation as one of the best teams. And I mean, that's really the goal, right? Yeah. To try to be good always.
For sure. And you're like, when I hear you talk to schools, and I've been with you when you've spoken to high schools or club teams, you're pretty open usually about saying how the training in the UH gym is above above everyone else in the country, really. And I think over the past few years, it's really apparent that that is one of the cases for sure. What do you think is the, besides obviously you have to have the talent in the gym, what is the biggest difference in our training style at UH that we had that separates us from any other program?
I mean, there's a couple ways to analyze it. The short of it is that we are more focused on individual development more than 6v6, roll the balls and play. We're always going to spend more time getting individual repetition. You know, we believe firmly in the, and I don't think it's just a theory, but the scientific fact of myelination, that how you develop really sophisticated and advanced motor skills takes a lot of repetition. You know, I think it's one of the things that Milan and I, early on, you know, before he was ever here, when we had met in Serbia, that we shared the same view, you know, and we just a lot of repetition going over the net. I think we're a little more sophisticated, that it's not just simple repetition, that it's repetition that involves challenges you to put yourself in position to be a good biomechanical model at the moment of impact, rather than just standing there stationary and having a ball come to you. So that may mean moving forward, moving backwards, moving side to side, you know, playing the ball multiple times in sequence that aren't just regular volley, I pass, you set, you hit, that it's like, I may pass to myself, set to myself, and hit to myself, and just enhancing the way that you touch the ball and having you be in contact with the ball longer. I also think that, you know, that we're diverse. Milan and I, while we see the game similarly, clearly we're different people. You know, we grew up in opposite sides of the world. And then you add Josh Walker in there as an elite level athlete, an elite level performer, you know, that we have a diverse staff. And we spend, what you see in our practice gym on a daily basis is a byproduct of hours of preparation, that, you know, we're going, and sometimes it gets a little heated, we're yelling, yeah, and doing different stuff, but I'm telling you, those are the greatest practices, because we're all so much on the same page on how we're going to walk in and make you guys better, and we all have a very clear image on what that process is going to look like on a daily basis.
So one thing I've noticed, I mean, I'm still in the club scene because our dad owns a club and whatnot, is once I hear like people like going to these big, big name colleges, because they're like getting a bunch of people, mass group, sometimes I think to myself, I'm like, I'm never going to hear from that like kid again, just because like as soon as I go there, like they're just like, you never hear from again. Why do you think that is? Because like they have the money, they have the resources. Like, why do you think that, okay, they get a highly talented top five recruit and then you never hear from them again?
Because of the development, you know, that a lot of, you know, in men's volleyball, there's still, you know, I've always said there are more players than teams. So it's real easy for, as a program, to bring 10 new guys every year, right? And you just go with whatever the shiny new toy is. And, you know, partly because of where we're located, that I've been really reluctant to just pull people halfway around the world. And then, you know, with a pretty clear knowledge that I'm just going to cut them in a year. You know, we've avoided that. I just think, like, ethically too, it's not something that we do. So we go through the process maybe a little more thoroughly in finding out that they're guys that want to be there. And then we take very seriously their development, and their development not only as a player, but as a person, as a human, you know, and those things all add up. And then at the end of the day, people improve. It's why you see a guy like Capone Fay, who wasn't a big time recruit, you know, ended up playing on a team, had a chance to win a national championship. Now he's playing in his third year at the highest professional league in the world. And I mean, look at the guy sitting right next to you, you know, Nobody would let Joe Worsley be a setter, let alone the setter. So not only did we give him that shot, but we invested in that. And the development, the results speak for themselves. I mean, guys are coming in. You know, Max is a good example of this, too. This is just a guy from the Midwest that decided he's you know, wants to be here and he's going to work hard. And when the world gets to see full-time Max Rosenfeld, they're going to be like, wow, where'd that guy come from? And yeah. To me, it's just going to be add him to the list of guys in our practice gym. Unfortunately, for some of them, they're never going to get on the court on a full-time basis.
Yeah,
the
for sure. Level.
But then once they do, I mean, those guys that I mentioned that will be freshmen for a third year, you know, Alakai Todd and Cole Hogland and Evan Johnson and Ben Short, those guys as sixth-year guys are going to be adult men, and they're going to play at a high level.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, kind of tying this into this volleyball, the volleyball world right now, for me, we talked about this a couple shows ago. From the media aspect, I think I've talked to other people who've started up kind of YouTube channels or started up media pages, and everybody kind of agrees that the media coverage of volleyball isn't at the highest level. And I remember me at UH, I'd go into some interviews sometimes, and like the questions being asked to me, like I would question if they even were watching the match, if they had any understanding of exactly what went on. What is your feeling about coverage in Hawaii, then as a whole, the volleyball media world?
Yeah, it's a little bit, that's my kind of opening rant this morning on our Zoom was me kind of philosophizing about communication in general and how media plays into it. Look, I think I see lots of effort to grow the media exposure for men's volleyball, and that's ultimately a good thing, right? But I think still you have to pay attention to not only how we communicate right now in so many different ways, right? That 10 years ago, none of this, you know, you didn't have these ways to communicate. So not only how there's more, but kind of what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Because I think what you alluded to, there's people who are doing interviews and like it's going to be news, but they already have in their mind what the story is going to say. Mm-hmm. And they're just, and you participating in, and then, I mean, I've had this happen a lot of times. Well, I'll make comments and then you go read the story afterwards. And it's like, okay, well, I said that, but you wove it into the narrative that you already had in your mind. It's not really what I said. And that's just part of it. I just think, look, I think you should pay attention to, not only how and how frequently, but what you're saying. Are you getting caught up in something that you're just being negative about whatever the topic or the person is? And are you advocating? You know, I think it's important that you can use the platform that you have to advocate for your team, to advocate for your teammates, for your university. I just think that's a better message because there's so much in this day and age, people want to hear the scandalous and the negative. And it's like, you know, pay attention to what you're saying and who you're saying it to. And if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of advocating for the people around me.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, media, I think you got into a little bit, but media can be a distraction in a way. And for me last year, I'm sure you'd heard about it, but I was a big, big proponent in terms from a social scene on our volleyball within our team, like limiting the amount of girlfriends we had. Do you see any effect? I need to settle this for my teammates to also be able to talk to. Do you see any effect in how having a girlfriend affects their play and their overall performance in the
psyche in the game? Yeah. How does it affect?
Yeah, it's certainly a relevant question and an ongoing one. And I'm not sure I'm going to settle the argument for you, but
let's hear your hot take on this, Charlie.
Yeah, you know, look, relationships are hard. They're all hard, and they take time. You know, and if you're not good at managing your time, then maybe you're not ready to have a relationship, and it becomes down to priority. You know, it's like weight room, classroom, practice gym, you know, and that's a lot. If you're fully committed to every one of those, you have time for snuggle on the couch, you know, like that part, like, and if you do great, I mean, and I would say, I mean, if you can, ultimately relationships make us better, right? And meaningful. Passionate relationships, when you really care for someone, obviously make us better. But there's the if, like, do you have the allocation of resources? Are you mature enough to handle that? Because a lot of times relationships, you know, you get caught up and you're just trying to make, you want validation, you want that person to make you feel good. If you're looking for somebody else to make you feel, my advice would be get into a relationship with someone who's happy and confident on their own.
Yeah.
That they're not, they don't need your validation to complete them, because you are a high level athlete and your time is valuable. And there's going to be times where it's like, look, I just don't have time to spend with you. I'm, you may choose to go spend time with your teammates rather than Netflix and chill.
Yeah, I think like they have to understand the whole sporting world and what it is about it. Like, Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Charlie's up
kinda,
to date.
Okay. Adding into that, you know, you guys, well, I'm sure over your years of coaching, you've dealt a lot with this, but in terms of players dealing with an injury in the middle of season, and obviously the timing of the injury at the point of the season is important, but what is your general philosophy? Because this year, for example, Colton Cowell, he had some pretty crucial injuries in big matches. What is your usually philosophy with players who have injuries throughout the season, and playing them versus not playing them?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually taken out of my, when we're talking the injuries, that's, I don't make that decision, right? That's made with the doctors and the training staff, you know? But again, it's about the time, you know, and rest is certainly something that needs time, and whatever the extra time is, whether it's a relationship or it's video games or it's surfing or it's partying or whatever you're at and spending time, it's all like I said, there's a finite number of hours in the day. And if you don't have time to rest and rehab and do the things that are going to allow you to stay on the floor, like, that's a bad choice, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Colton got into, it was almost like some of his injury and just his body kind of yelling at him a little bit came from what was a commitment to being bigger, faster, stronger. And he just started overtraining. You know, he just started getting so jacked. And so, like, his body started telling him, like, you're carrying a lot of weight here. And, you know, at the end, unfortunately, you know, and we wouldn't have seen how it played out, but he and I had a real meaningful conversation about, you know, he missed that last BYU game. His body's just yelling at him, that he recognized that he needed to back off a little bit on the training. So paying attention to your body and avoiding that injury by keeping it optimal, you know, optimal rest and optimal strength, you know, it's important. It takes time.
Yeah. And unfortunately, like I was saying that I think that him being injured for that and then the Lewis match, I believe you guys had, ultimately is what took him out of the race for first team All-American. I think being out of those two matches hurt his chances. I don't know. I wasn't in any of those meetings.
I think it's fair.
But
went on the floor for the two biggest matches we played.
Yeah.
It didn't help you.
Yeah. And so
I think from a coach's standpoint, you see that. I mean, once you reach a certain level, high level ball, pro ball, it's kind of like, you got a roster of what would we have this year? Like 21, 22?
22.
You get a roster of 22. We had no red shirts. Everyone was playing except for one. But everyone was playing. It's more of like next man up. And I think that's how it is in the injury world in any sports. Like, okay. And you should, and you know this from a coach's standpoint, it's like one guy gets hurt, like he could lose his job that quickly by the next guy coming in and just balling out. And I think that, I mean, you see, I mean, you have to make that decision from a coach's standpoint.
For sure. And it's obviously, it's always a kind of next man up mentality. It is a little harder in men's volleyball because of only the 4.5 scholarships to stockpile talent, you know, and to be able to make substitutions that are lateral substitutions. You know, most of the time, if you're taking an All-American off the floor, yeah, you get worse. You can't win matches like that. But, you know, fortunately, we've had, you know, enough talent, enough depth that we're still able to win. Like I said, the matches against the two best teams we played this year without a really good player on the floor.
Yeah. So, Charlie, these last two things we're going to do with you here. We're going to play a little game right now. So, recently, we did, this is our first of two. We took a poll on I know you're not big on the social media. I know you got Josh Walker out there spying. I see what you're doing right, Charlie. So we're going to do a little game right here. So, we put out a poll. And this game's called What Are They Doing? And we put out a poll of, what, like 10 names. And people voted. We're going to choose three out of those, and we're going to give you a name. Again, we're only doing three. And
well, the highest, say, yeah. Well, yeah. We got responses back from them.
So we're going to throw your name, and I want you to tell us in about 15, 20 seconds or less what you think they're doing right now, okay?
What do you think they're up to?
Quarantine.
What are they up to?
And where are these? Is this anyone from anywhere in the world? Or?
Anywhere.
It's anyone from
people you know.
That have been in the program. Past,
exactly. Gotcha.
Current and past.
And we want your athlete. And we want your honest answer. So, we're going to ask you first one. The first name we got on our list is the Capone Ofe. What is he doing right now?
He's just hanging out in East Oahu. You know, I think they live in Hawaii Kai. He's here on Oahu. He's just hanging out with the fam.
Okay. Okay.
Cruising.
Next one, Patrick Gassman.
Pat is probably waiting to see what's the next kind of – what's he going to do with his brother and his mom. They're both here on Oahu still too. And I know they're trying to fill their days with, you know, stuff outside the house. So, you know, maybe going on another hike or, you know, something, some kind of adventure.
And last one, our personal favorite, Brandon Rattray.
Yeah, that one you got me. I haven't had much contact with him over the last couple of years, so you're
probably working out.
Good as mine.
Probably working out.
Working out, doing handstands and whatnot.
Yeah, you're probably about right. Yeah.
So this last thing, we're gonna turn over to Max here. So what we decided to do is, for those viewers out there, Charlie has many, many sayings, as we call them, Charlieisms. Very famous and very knowledgeable, as I say. So what we're gonna
growing by the day. The list.
Exactly. Max, we're gonna turn it over to you right now.
Okay. Yeah. So the idea for this is we're gonna give you the context of a given saying, and we're gonna see if you can guess the actual saying. And we're pretty sure you can because you say it. Okay. So first,
whatever I say is right, since they're Charlieisms, they're not Max.
I guess. Okay. But, I guess.
Go ahead.
Common Charlieisms is our idea. So this one is something you'd say to someone on your team. They don't want to be just another face in the crowd, so to speak. They don't want to be blank. They want to be blank. What would the saying be based on that?
You don't want to be blank. You
want to. They don't want to be like some random player. They want to be.
Yeah, they want to be.
You don't want to be. You don't want to be. A guy,
yeah.
A guy. That's it. That's the one. That's okay. Okay. Nice. All right. One for one. All right. We got a couple more here. Next one is someone is serving in the same manner again and again, and it's sort of working, but maybe you think that it would behoove them to switch up their routine, maybe give something, you know, something else to the other side. What would you say then?
Pull a different club.
You're totally right, you would. All right.
Drive all night.
And then another one is we're in the locker room before a game, and you're going along the line to each of the guys on the team. But the common one that we heard 2 years ago was you look at this one guy and you ask him what his contribution would be. What is the saying that comes to mind? You guys got anything else to maybe give a hint there?
He's Bulgarian.
He's Bulgarian. That's the first. Your yep. first question to him. Every single game.
For every meet, when we meet in the locker room.
What are you going to do?
Yes. What are you going to do? I love when you go, it's like, they talk about the team, but you're like, no, what are you going to do?
Yes, exactly.
I'm all about that.
And then the final one here is you want people to know about their environment that they live in and that, okay, another saying that I'm going to say here is our lives are different, as you say. But then you want them to know about I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You two know?
It's just not what, though.
It's like, different. Like, yeah, it's just
like,
not.
People, like, do different just stuff. Not, we're just like, it's just not our. That's just not our blank.
We have a lot of media presence, like most other schools don't. And people pay attention to us more so than other schools.
We got to be mindful of our actions. So you would say, well, you can't just go around doing dumb stuff because that's just.
You have to be professional.
Yes. That's one. That's a different. Okay.
We're close.
The correct answer, the answer we put down was that's just not our world.
That's just not our world. Yeah.
One of the classics.
There you go. So thanks for participating.
Charlie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We had a blast. I know you probably got Zoom calls. And again, like we said, we got school Zoom calls to get to.
Wait. So, Max.
Yeah?
I heard you singing the other day in my house. Like, one of my kids had something on. And it was weird. Like, I heard it.
What? Max, weird.
You got a new little tune? I thought it was almost like some iconic, like, folk song, but modern day. You know, it was like almost a little Woody Guthrie or something.
Max,
can you give me a second of that?
Max, can you sing? Do you have your guitar?
I don't have it in the room, but you know what?
Acapella. I'd love to.
We'll put a video on the.
Yeah, acapella. Let's hear an acapella.
Oh, there was the one that I wrote that was, "Hey, Coach Graham, how have you been?"
No. The one about Charlie.
Oh, which? Oh, Amazing Ace.
Yes, yes. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's hear
Amazing
it.
Amazing Ace, I ripped my serve, but Charlie doesn't care. That's what that's and then he says, because I had bad hand on ball. That was the premise of the song. I hope you always liked it.
Thumb up. There's got to be a thumb up in there somewhere.
Thumb up. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll see you on the track, Coach.
Charlie, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you, Coach.
Hopefully, yeah. guys.
Stay safe. It. Keep the stay family safe. Safe. Thank you, Charlie.
Well, I hope that former teammates, current teammates, and future teammates can enjoy that, or people of Hawaii
for sure. program
can enjoy yeah. that segment there.
Anybody who's yep. worked with Charlie, too, will appreciate.
We decided to add the little Charlie's at the end. We love those. He loves being all a part of those.
I think we know the boys will get a kick out of that.
Oh, for sure. I think he could have answered a little faster, though, you know? Maybe. We gotta
the last one stumped him.
I know, right?
Max stumped him on that one.
That's just not our world.
I think the biggest debate in that whole thing is Joe and his whole girlfriend shtick.
Oh, my God.
I think that he's all about that. Now, hey, anybody who listened to me last year knows that I support people being happy, okay? But there's too many times I see girlfriends getting in the way of training and guys doing their work and not being focused. Yeah, and that's what I got work.
Who hurt you, Joe? Who hurt you?
Okay, what about people?
For example, this guy.
Oh,
here we go.
Congratulations.
Oh, all right.
It was me and Ratto and Stein versus everybody else. You know, I had to pull guys out of relationships.
Oh, my God.
Keep them from getting into it.
You poor, poor soul, Joe. You poor guy.
Watch it out for the boys. Saturdays are for the boys.
Yeah, but what if they can
play Saturday?
What if people balance it then? If
I don't think it's possible to balance.
Oh, what about, like, the professional athletes?
Okay, no matter what.
I've heard this conversation.
If you look at a Venn diagram, okay? You take a look at a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
If it's just the circle with just volleyball, you have nothing else pulling you away. You start adding other things, they start pulling away it.
Okay, so.
At your time and your schedule.
So you're telling me that.
No matter what, you could always, there's always time for volleyball.
So are you telling me that.
You start having other things, it starts pulling you apart.
So you're telling me that when's the right time to have a girlfriend or wife? Never after, like 40 afterwards?
I'm just saying you have to be able to deal with the distractions.
So no, what?
Girlfriends are, you can't admit to me that girlfriends are not distractions.
All right.
How are they not a distraction?
I can admit that.
For sure.
You need hobbies. You can. And you need stuff to do off the.
Love doctor.
No, absolutely.
So when do you see yourself getting married and getting a girlfriend?
Yeah, Joe.
I don't
that
know.
This guy's going to get a girlfriend and change his whole mind. Be like, bro, I'm sorry.
I will never admit that girlfriends aren't a distraction.
Joe and Rattle last year, they would literally be like, Ratto told a girl last year, he's like, I can't be with you because Joe would kill me.
That is not false.
Literally,
me and Ratto had to have a conversation.
I feel like it was coming to the point where it wasn't like about girlfriends, it's about like, dude, if I do this thing, yeah. I'm like, other guy's gonna be crap. Like, no way. The guy,
if I get into a relentless. Relationship, Joe's gonna rip me a new one.
You guys were relentless. Oh my gosh, that's all I heard.
And then it's me and Gage hanging out, and who's Joe hanging out with? Is he hanging out with the boys?
Classic Joe. Saturdays are always for the boys.
Uh-huh. False. Always. Not if you're Joe.
Always.
Mr. Oh, I can't go on a hike, but then the day before a game, go to the two sticks to a hike.
Yeah. Yeah,
bro. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this segment of Girlfriends or No Girlfriend. I'm just kidding.
It's not a new segment.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Check us out next Tuesday. We'll be posting who we have on Sunday, so make sure you follow us on social media, on our Instagram.
Please keep sending in. Videos are totally exposed. We want to see – we kind of pick through and see what we like best, what makes us laugh the most. If you guys have any videos that you guys want us to react to, please send them in. We would love to feature them on our show.
Please
do, guys. Ask your girlfriend first. Make sure it's okay with your girlfriend.
No, break up with your girlfriend and then send it for Joe's sake over here. Guys, send us a video of you breaking up with your girl.
Send us a video of you breaking up with her. And that'll for sure get featured on our show.
Oh, my God.
We'll put that on the show. Oh my God.
Guys, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Out of Season.